Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. And all the stanzas of Psalter 365.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the gospel in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, and there of chapter 7. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and that after, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them receiveth tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is written, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may read in thy holy word of those priests that had infirmity and that were not able to continue by reason of death. And so we also must feel our infirmities here below, on account of our sin before thee. But thou art high and lifted up. Thou art holy, thou art undefiled, and thou art the ruler over this great universe, which thou hast created and which thou dost uphold. And with thee there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. When men do come and go over the face of this earth, when they are coming even as the springtime and then as in the fall, then all things are dying away. So generation after generation is appearing before thee. And we also with our children will one day have to appear before thee. Oh, that thou may cause our hearts to understand. Thou bringest us into thy house once again in this afternoon hour. And we may acknowledge thee for this great opportunity, which is withheld from so many in this world. But bowing toward thy holy place, We may in thy house meet once again in this afternoon hour. Oh, cause us also to worship there. Oh, that we may be given to acknowledge who and what thou art. Even acknowledging who and what we are before thee. Oh, show to us our sin. Lord, open it unto us. For the first time or by renewal, we see it not of ourselves, but we go on over this world with a heart that is proud and lifted up, and we will not bow before thee, and thy word that has no place in our hearts. O Lord, thou dost say, I will cause them to inherit substance, and I will fill all their treasures. But thou knowest what our treasures are by nature. Then we have treasures among the riches of this world. And this we seek even to our old age. And because a man, he is as the beast that perish who does not understand. O Lord, then we are in thy house in this afternoon hour. And then it is for this cause that thou hast instituted the offices, that they also may be upheld to this very day. May it be also in this afternoon hour, and that thou may give a little token and that thou still livest, and that thou art God, and that it is thy own word, and that it is thy own work, and that thou art more powerful than the hardest and the most rebellious and the most sinful heart. O we who have no desires after thee, thou art able to plant those desires in our heart in one moment. And thou art able to turn us away from our sin. And thou art able to make us to bow before thee in truth and in uprightness, so that it would be said of both young and old, "Behold, he prayeth." Lord, may it be then also in this very day, and that thy word may be sanctified and may be blessed. May thou remember those who do wait for thee more than watch for thee more than those that watch for the morning. For thy servant did say, "I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow upon the housetops." Lord, thou knowest those that do say, "And thou, O Lord, how long?" And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Lord, could it please thee to remember such also in this day, and that thou may visit them with a token of thy favor, who cannot see thy favor, or that thou may look upon those who do mourn because of that great goal fixed between thee and their soul, or that they may be given to see that there is a way, and that is not found in them, or that thou would bring to an end of all of our strength, of all of our wisdom, and of all of our knowledge, and that we may be given to behold thee, as thou hast shown thyself and revealed thyself in thine only begotten Son. O Lord, that thou may open thy word, and that it may be as a lamp unto those who sit in darkness, and that there may be a little ray of light, and that they may be given to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Lord, that thou may remember also those that have left their first love. And thou dost rebuke them therefore, but thou knowest also that it leaves them not easy. When they are, as we have heard also in this morning hour, as sheep that have gone astray, and then it is not only for the first time, but then it is so often by renewal. O Lord, then that thou thyself would bring them back. O that thou wouldst leave the 99, and that thou wouldst search out that lost sheep in the wilderness, and that thou wouldst draw them again with the power of thy Spirit. O that thou wouldst be as the dew unto Israel, and that thou may feed those that are hungry, and that thou may give to drink those that are thirsty. Lord, that thou may not deal with us according to our many sins. Oh, we have heard it in this morning, that thou hast laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, that it may also be in our hearts to say, Lord, are we also included in that all? that one thing needful, born and bound upon our hearts, and that of young and old among us, for our time that is short, and we go each one unto our long home, and we know not what a day may bring forth. That thou may remember young and old together, and all the needs of this life also, they were laid before thee in this morning hour, and the afflicted and the sick, in the hospitals, in the nursing home, in their own homes, recovering from operations. Lord, remember each one. And when there are needs of those that are not public, and those that are private, those that have cares and concerns which they do bear alone. Oh, that thou may uphold and give a secret place before thee, an inner chamber, that they may be given also to receive strength from thee, that thou may remember all those that are handicapped, all those that have suffered abuse, those that have needs of the mind or of the body. Thou knowest the place of all that are in the prisons. Lord, remember them also in all their ways. Give true repentance unto the guilty. Give patience unto the innocent. And wilt thou give also a view of thyself, of thee of whom it was said, this man, he hath done nothing amiss, and yet that he was hung upon that accursed tree. Lord, that thou wouldst give that in every way of trial and tribulation in this world, and men may be given to see thy hand, and that it is not the hand of our fellow man, but it is the hand and the finger of God. And that we may be given to bow thereunder, and to receive it with patience. And that it may be for the profit of our souls upon our short journey here below. Remember thou the nations in which we live. And we in a special way ask of thee, Lord, that thou may remember our sister nation in this year wherein elections have begun. O Lord, that thou would watch over them in thy mercy, and that thou wouldst guide them, and that thou thyself wouldst deliver. For thou knowest the place wherein we are, and how that we have left thee. O that thou wouldst turn our nations back again, to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember all those that bring thy word this day in our own community, in our own congregations, and all over the length and breadth of this world. Lord, help us too in this hour. Give us a little strength, therefore, and give us wisdom, give us clarity. Give us love, give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit. And may it be for a blessing for this one or for that one. And wilt thou take unto thyself all the honor and all the glory, that it may be for the good of our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion wilt purge my guilt away. And what follows in the second and third stanza of Psalter 419 and the last collection today is for our school. congregation, we have read together out of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, the Lord swear, and he will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What was so extraordinary, so special about Melchizedek, in that he says, after the order of Melchizedek? That is, in the first place, that Melchizedek had more than one office. That was not a very common thing. But we read that Melchizedek, he was the king of Salem, and he was also the priest of the Most High God. And it is in this that we find a first similitude, a likeness, and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have heard last week that he was ordained and anointed of the Father to be the chief prophet of his church. But there is also more. Because not only is he a prophet, but he is also a priest, and he is also a king. What does that mean? That means that he bears every office that is so necessary for his church. That means that he is unto his church all and in all, prophet, priest, and king. That means that when they have him, then they have everything, and that there is absolutely nothing lacking for his church. And therefore, with the Lord's help, we wish to go forward in consideration of these offices. And then we wish to consider once again Lord's Day 12, the 31st question, but only the middle part. Lord's Day 12, question 31, why is he called Christ? That is, anointed, because he was ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ anointed by the Father as a high priest. First, the significance of this priesthood. And second, the necessity of this priesthood. Christ anointed by the Father as high priest. First, the significance of this priesthood. Second, the necessity of this priesthood. Anointed to be our only high priest. So we hear immediately that our fathers, they are men of the Reformation. How do we hear that? Well, we have heard that he was anointed to be our chief prophet, not the only prophet, but the chief prophet. But that he is anointed not to be our chief high priest, but that he is anointed to be our only high priest. Why do you think, children? Well, because in the Roman Catholic Church, then there continue to be priests. But we do not have priests anymore in the churches of the Reformation. Why do we not have priests? Well, the Roman Catholic Church, they say that priesthood here below that has not come to an end, and that those sacrifices, they have still to continue. What kind of sacrifice? Well, in the Mass, the Popish Mass, then there is supposedly a sacrifice daily. That is, that Christ, He is sacrificed once again every day. But our fathers, they call this a cursed idolatry. It is, of course, in direct contradiction to the Word of God. What is a priest? A priest is one who stands at the altar and he offers sacrifices unto God. In the beginning, we can read that men were their own priests. So we can read about Abel and Abraham and Noah and Job, how that they have sacrificed for themselves, how that they have sacrificed for their families. But in the national dispensation of the covenant of grace, then the Lord, He has ordained a priesthood that is of the tribe of Levi, so that there was a common altar and so that there was a common ritual. Not that the blood of bulls and goats is able to take away sin, but this priesthood that is pointing to a more perfect priesthood that Paul has spoken to the Hebrews about, as we have read from Hebrews 7. Thus, this is the Levitical priesthood instituted by the Lord until that time of its antitype. Christ, He is Himself very clearly the fulfillment of the office of the priesthood and of all of the sacrifices themselves. Paul said that in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, in order that he may make reconciliation for men. As those sacrificial lambs, they were placed to the side as they were set apart. As those that were taken that were without blemish, so he had to be holy, so he had to be without spot, so he had to be separated from men. Then we have heard also in this morning hour of how that those sins, they have been laid upon him. And so we see in that priesthood how that the sins of that people, they were laid upon that beast. And so Isaiah, he is speaking and saying that God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And that as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So we see that a blessed passive obedience of Christ being fulfilled in the New Testament that has been prophesied so many years before. And then When that sacrifice was finished, what then? Well, then we can read that he has entered in once into that holy place that was made without hands, and there to make intercession for his church. Thus Paul says, now once in the end of the world hath he appeared, that he may give a sacrifice and take away the sin of his people. And therefore any continuation in the offering of sacrifice, whether it be animal, whether it be even of the Lord Jesus himself, that is a rejection of that one sacrifice that Christ has made upon that cross of Calvary. You will say, boys and girls, but the Lord Jesus, he was not a Levite. He was not of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah. And that is correct. And now that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is speaking about in this chapter of the Hebrews. Because the Levitical priesthood that was never to be instituted as an end in itself, because the blood of bulls and of goats, they were not able to take away one sin. And therefore, there had to be, the Apostle Paul says, a change in that law of ceremonies. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The power of an endless life. An endless life. Why were the priests? They had to continue. How did the priesthood continue in Israel? That was only because when one priest would die, then there was another priest to take his place. Otherwise, it was impossible for that priesthood to continue. But now the apostle says a new priesthood, that is a priesthood after an endless life. Thus Melchizedek, he was a priest of the Most High God. But he was not a Levite. He was not children of the seed of Abraham. He was not related to Abraham. Thus we said the peculiarities of Melchizedek. He had multiple offices, yes, but there is also something else. That is what the apostle tries to bring out. What do we know of the ancestry of Melchizedek? nothing. And we hear nothing of Melchizedek either after this. That is, we know nothing of his birth, and we know nothing of his death. Certainly, we may believe that he died, but we do not read of his death. And so we see Melchizedek is just appearing. He is appearing, and we read nothing of anything else. And so he is, Paul says, a type of Christ as a high priest who would continue as a high priest and who would never die. So we read a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forever. Why is it necessary to have a priest forever? Because we said it is not necessary that Christ should give his life again. And that his body should be sacrificed again. Why is it necessary then that we should have still a priest and that he should be a priest forever? Well, it is because that priesthood that is not only about sacrifice, but there is more to it. Because Paul says it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and that is at the right hand of God, there he says, to make intercession for us. Thus we have the other part of the priesthood, that work of the priesthood, that is intercession. What is intercession? That is to pray for one another. To pray for someone else. Do you pray, boys and girls? You pray, I think. You pray for yourself. That is in the first place necessary. But do you also pray for someone else? Do you pray for your mother? For your father? You pray for your brothers and your sister? You pray for your minister, I hope, and for the consistory, for the church. There are many to pray for. When we pray for someone else beside ourselves, then we intercede. We intercede. And now the Lord, he has made intercession a special work. He has actually instituted an office in the church for intercession in a special way. Men within his church, the priesthood in the church, that they may pray officially for others. You understand that that is a very significant thing. Why? Not because those men know how to pray, no. But because those men, they are ordained, they are chosen, they are put in that place to do that by the Lord himself. And now Christ, he is in a special way by his Father appointed and anointed, that is qualified not only to do that work of sacrifice, but also to do this work of intercession. And though the sacrifice of Christ's body need not continue, having sacrificed himself once for all, this work of intercession of his high priesthood that still continues to this day. What does he pray for? Well, then he is praying for the application of that sacrifice. That sacrifice that he himself has made upon that cursed tree. That it may by the Spirit of the Lord also be brought into the heart of a man. Then he is praying unto his Father, that his Father may receive a people that he could not receive outside of that sacrifice. That prayer of Christ to his Father, that is just as that prayer of Paul, that letter of Paul that he has written to Philemon. That was about Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had run away from Philemon, his master. And when he had come to Paul, then the Lord has used Paul to bring that man back. And so Paul, he has sent Onesimus back unto Philemon. And what does he write to him? He says, Philemon, he says, if he owes thee anything, or if he has wronged thee at all, he says, put that on my account. I have written it, he says, with my own hand. I will repay it. Thus the Apostle Paul, he becomes a surety for Onesimus. He does that willingly. In those things that Onesimus is not able to do for himself. Because Onesimus cannot make amends for his wrong anymore. Put it, he says, on my account. Albeit, he says, I do not say to thee how that thou owest unto me even thine own self besides, Paul writes to Philemon. Thus he says, you may place that on my account, I will repay it, but I will have you, Philemon, never to forget that you owe me already much more than I can owe you. Why? Because Paul, he has been used as an instrument in the hands of the Lord for the conversion of Philemon. So that there is nothing in this whole world. Do you believe that, children, young people? There is nothing in this whole world that is able to come to that same value as that true conversion of which Paul was that instrument. And so Paul says, you may write what he owes you on my account, but actually then I will have to pay you nothing, Philemon, because you actually owe me so much more already. What a strength in that surety. It was as it were an ocean that is not able to be emptied. Why? Because of the superior value, the infinite value of spiritual blessings over all the temporal. And thus when Paul writes that letter to Philemon, then we can be sure that Onesimus, he has certainly been forgiven. Congregation, how much more may not Christ now demand from his Father the forgiveness of the sin of all his people? Oh, there is so much power in that suretyship of Christ. Why? Because of the value of that suffering. And because what is owed unto Christ by way of covenant from His Father, when He has finished that work that He was given to do, then there is an ocean of grace that is to be given unto that church, that is an ocean that is not able ever to be emptied. So that Christ, He may say unto His Father, My Father, if My people have wronged Thee, or if they owe Thee aught, write that now on My account, or You may subtract it, reverently speaking, Father, from what Thou owest Me. But what Thou owest unto Me, that is of an infinite value that can never be depleted. O congregation, do you see it? What is our prayer? Our prayers, they are nothing. But now to be included in that prayer of that interceding high priest who is sitting at the right hand of His Father, that is everything. Christ, He says, that many shall say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? Oh, how often that name, Lord, is being used. But He shall say, He says unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Thus we can pretend to know Him, and we can confess to know Him, but does He now know us? And we can pray unto Him, but does He pray unto His Father for us? Because if we may be included in the prayers of that high priest, then it cannot go ill with us. That is impossible. Thus do we seek the tokens that we are also included in that high priestly prayer, because the Father, He has anointed Him for that work. He has appointed Him for that work. And therefore that people, they cannot go lost. Oh, you see, young people, the certainty. You see the rock. You see the ground wherein that church is founded, is grounded, so that there is no question whether that church, they shall certainly be saved in the end, though there can be so many questions in their hearts. Let us sing 398, 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. Let us sing all of them. 1, 2, and 3 of 398.
Thank you.
Congregation, where does the necessity of a prophet come from? We have heard that it is because of our ignorance. That ignorance is a consequence of our deep fall, created in knowledge. Our second thought that has to do with the necessity of the priesthood. And where does the necessity of a priest come from? That comes from our poverty. And our poverty that is also a consequence of our deep fall. And yet, though it is our own guilt, we read in so many places of God's care for the poor. That is, by His word and by His deed, by His precept and by His example. The scriptures, they are full of it. But to whom must the tithes be paid? Well, the tithes, they had to be paid to the Levites. That is, the priestly tribe. Tithes, what were they for? They were, of course, for the maintenance of the tribe of Levi. But they were also alms. Thus, that priestly tribe that was given that blessed task from the Lord to care for the poor. But temporal poverty, that is not the greatest characteristic of God's church. Many of them are poor because the Lord, He says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which God hath promised to them that love Him? Riches, they are not in general profitable for men, and especially for God's church, because they are a temptation. They are a snare, and they are said, and it is lived out in this world that they drown men in destruction and in perdition. And yet, David, he was the man after God's own heart, and he was very rich, and his son Solomon, none like him in the world, and yet he also was a God-fearing man. And so we see that kings and princes, they will all come to bow down before him. But what is now that poverty with which that office of that priesthood that is particularly concerned? What is that poverty? Our fathers speak about it here in this Lord's Day. Who, by the one sacrifice of His body, has redeemed us. Redemption. What is redemption? That is to rescue. That is especially by purchase or a ransom. That is to buy back. Then we think of those that had, because of their great debt, to sell themselves unto another man because they were not able to pay their debts. Thus, redemption that has to do with unpaid debts. and not only unpaid debts, but it has to do with the inability to pay those debts. Then such a man, he had to be delivered by a redeemer, by one who would pay the debt for him. And thus our fathers are speaking about that one sacrifice of the body of Christ upon the cross by which that he has redeemed his church. Thus that sacrifice of the priesthood that had to do with unpayable debts, not temporal debts, but debts that are much greater, that is, moral debts, that is, spiritual debts, that is, not debts unto my fellow men, but a debt that I have before the Lord Himself. Thus it is for those who are unable to make amends for sin. For those who are unable to make up that which is past. And that are liable therefore only to punishment. That redemption that is for those who are unable to meet the demands, the present demands of holiness, because of my own sinful existence, who that I am, that I shall never be able to bring forth one good thought, one good word, one good deed before the Lord. These are bought back by that redemption price. These are relieved of their debt. These are relieved of the consequences of not being able to pay their debt. These are legally delivered from their oppressor, who says, pay me what thou owest. These are set free from the demands of the law, because that price that is not remaining unpaid, but that is fully paid by that Redeemer. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us. Redemption that is the hope of the poor. Not of those who are still laboring to fulfill that debt. But redemption is the hope, the only hope of those that have already been sold or sold themselves unto their creditor. They are bound by him. And when they are there enslaved, as it were, by him, then there is for that people only one hope. Can you imagine that, boys and girls? When you had sold yourself, oh, then your thoughts, they are, there is then only one way for me to come out of this bondage. And that is when my father, when my mother, when someone else, they will come to pay my creditor, then I can go free. But as I am a poor man. And there is no other way for me to come out of this servanthood. O congregation, are there in our midst a people that have come to see that we are sold under sin? That we are in bondage to it? Were you ever cut off from every hope on your side? That you would ever be able to fulfill the least demands of the law of God? Are there in our days also those who go over this world to whom that creditor is speaking, pay me what thou owest, but you say, I am not able to pay it. Ordained of God the Father, and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our only high priest, who has redeemed his church by that one sacrifice of his body. Father, if they have wronged thee, or if they owe thee aught, put it on my account. I will repay it. What do we read? And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Oh, my Father, if this cup might not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Put it on my account. I will repay it. Hail, King of the Jews. Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Put it on my account. I will repay it. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Put it on my account. I will repay it. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And the third day, he rose again. Why, Paul says? Paul says it is for an assurance. What is that assurance? That is now the satisfaction of his Father. We heard it. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Satisfied about what? That it is repaid. That iniquity that was laid upon him, that it is repaid. That there is not one farthing that is left to pay. That legally, that he has delivered his entire church, delivered for our offenses, and raised again, Paul says, for our justification, ordained of God the Father, and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. Continual intercession to pray for those who cannot pay. Are they also in our midst? And to pray also for those who cannot pray. Are they also in our midst? And why can you not pray? You say, I am ignorant. Yes, I am foolish. Yes, I know not how to order a prayer. Yes, maybe. But are there those that do not dare to pray because of unworthiness? Then it is even again as we see in Paul's letter to Philemon concerning that runaway slave Onesimus. Because Paul, he says, Philemon, he says, perhaps, that he has departed from thee for a little season, that thou mayest receive him forever. He says, Philemon, I have sent him again unto you. Receive him then as my own bowels. He says, Philemon, if thou countest me a partner, then receive him even as myself. And so much more, Christ, he does intercede for that church to say, Father, perhaps they have departed from thee for a little season, that thou mayest receive them forever. I have sent them again unto thee. Receive them therefore as my own bowels. And if thou countest me a partner, then receive them even as myself. And I do not say, Father, how that thou owest also unto me. O congregation, what a powerful intercession of that praying high priest at that right hand of God for a church that has run away and that except for that interceding hand of God had never turned again. Oh, ask the Lord to show you your ignorance, that you might need that great prophet. Oh, ask the Lord to show you your poverty, that we may be given to see something, or to behold something, the smallest part of that blessed suitability and that blessed preciousness of that interceding high priest. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who dost intercede at the right hand of thy Father, wilt thou not forget us, but wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? For we have departed from thee, and we are as sheep that have gone astray, who desire not, but also cannot find our way back again. O Lord, come unto us. Seek us out who will not seek after thee. Humble us under thy gifts and blessings, and we may acknowledge thee for a little strength in this hour. Bless thy word. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Help each one in the week to come in all the labors of our hands, whatever they may be in this world, over dangerous ways, and also in the home, on the farm, wherever that it may be. Be with us as a consistory, also the confession class. Oh, help them, Lord, to bring forth all that they have learned. And wilt thou forgive our sins for Jesus' sake? Amen. 362 all stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, all three stanzas of 362.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.